And I'm not sure how long they are on furlough, but they're here now. And come on up, Ken, and share what the Lord's been doing in your life.
Thank you very much.
A pleasure to be with you this evening. And for sure, the Lord has been working in our lives as he has been working in your lives. It's not just a case of preaching to others. Because the Lord is still dealing with us as well. And before I start showing you slides, first of all, I want to commend you for your singing. I love good singing, and when you hear some harmony and voices coming in there, that is excellent. Keep it up. Keep practicing the new generations with your harmonizing. That's great. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 sums up our greatest passion as missionaries in a different country. And it was probably the verse on our first prayer card when we went out 46 years ago. I'm sorry, 48 years ago. 46 years that we've been working in the present city. But this verse sums it up, or these verses, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it was with you. And as I look at you, I see that the Lord has been glorified through you here. And that is wonderful. And Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and says, God was glorified through you. But we would like that to happen in many places. And, well, that is our prayer. And as I continue reading the five verses here, we'll be summing up or summarizing what the Lord has been doing down through these past years. I won't comment on the verses. You'll be able to see it as the pictures go by. So may the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And this is very important. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Lovely verses that sum up our ministry. And I've noticed in different places the ministries of many other people who use these same verses. So we're not inventing anything, are we? Well, we'll take you to Uruguay. And there is a screen so that I don't have to look over my shoulder, right? Good. So some people have asked us, well, where is Uruguay in relation to Brazil? Brazil is the giant that sits on top of our heads. We're tucked in underneath, and we have Argentina to the side and to the south. So Uruguay, as you see there, is a small country. Actually, it fits into southern Ontario. Southern Ontario, not just Ontario, southern Ontario. So 3,400,000 is the population. Most people are Roman Catholic by name. Uruguay for many years has been secular. Over 100 years ago, the educational system was based on the French model, and God was out of the picture, separation of state and church, which is a good thing, but leaving God out of the nation is not a good thing. But that's how it is. This is our flag. And actually, you'll find the colors of the flag on our new prayer card. So don't leave today without a new prayer card, which Eunice will have. I don't know that she has it yet, but it's in the bag at the back. So anyway, you attack her to make sure that you get your prayer card. Southern Ontario is flat, and take a look at Uruguay. So it's quite similar there, but we have palm trees and you don't. This is our version of the robin. It's not a robin, but it's quite similar and has a beautiful song. And this is another bird, also beautiful, but not a beautiful song. Actually, it is like a watchdog. When any movement happens in the fields, this bird will just start flying around and attacking whatever has moved and screeching very loud, so everybody around knows that somebody unwanted is crossing the fields. We have a democratic government. And at this moment, this term, the government is right-wing. We have just come out of 3 terms, in other words, 15 years of left-wing government. So they brought in a lot of the agenda that accompanies it. And now they're sort of balancing things a little bit. But Uruguay has all the modern agenda that you have here in Canada as well. And it is being very aggressively imposed on the children. Right preschool years, they're learning that family can consist of any version, not just mom and dad and the kids, but one mom, one dad and the kids, 2 males, 2 females, all the versions. That's all family. And they use, unfortunately, the word family. Just 50 kilometers from us is this colonial city called Colonia, and it was founded by the Portuguese back in the 1600s, then conquered by the Spaniards, and then by the British, and again by the Portuguese and the Spanish, and finally ended up as a part of Uruguay. Uruguay back in that time was a buffer zone between Brazil, the giant up north, and Argentina, the giant down south. So when the two countries had any beef, they would meet in Uruguay and have it out. Finally, somebody, I believe it was a pope, took pity on Uruguay and made it an independent nation. So no longer buffer zone. So any town square in the center of the city will have a Catholic church and a monument to the national hero, Artigas. And so it is in our city. This particular one is in our city of Rosario. And as I mentioned, we've been there for 46 years. We moved there with the idea of establishing an assembly. In the whole area, about 130 kilometers around, there were no assemblies. So that was the goal, to see some established. And actually, shortly after moving to the city, we got a knock on the door from somebody offering this building for our church services. It was an Adventist group. They were moving out of the city. And so they wanted their building to go to some religious group. And, well, we were the privileged ones to receive it. Well, pay for it. And it has been a great place. There's lots of room for expansion, for games, for a soccer field, which is very important in Uruguay. But how do you start a new work when you go to a city and there's nothing there? Where do you start? Well, children was one of the starts. We would take a soccer ball, a guitar, a Bible lesson, and have some games with the kids, Actually, one of the favorite games was called Rotten Egg. So all you do is you form a circle with all the kids, and one of them has the rotten egg in their hand, which is a hanky or whatever you have handy. And so they run around the circle and drop it behind somebody, and then that person has to pick it up and run around. You probably play something like that, but you don't have such an exotic name for it like we have. So anyway, Rotten Egg was a favorite game with the kids as well as others. So that was a first contact with the children and, through the children, the parents. Just a month ago, now a month and a half ago, we had a fair in the town square, and who should walk up but one of the boys that is in that picture. Of course, now he's retired. Well, don't ask me how old I am. Another way of reaching into the population was door-to-door visitation. And so all the city has been covered with tracks many times, sometimes slipping under the doors so as not to bother the people all the time, but usually once a year, knocking on the doors and trying to have a conversation with the people, sometimes inviting for a special occasion. Down through the years, Eunice and I aren't out with the kids as much. We still are. We like it. But there's a new generation coming up, and the young people are very active doing that and learning to teach Bible lessons to the kids, just like they do in Sunday school. But it is a little bit different in the open air because there's more distraction. They're not kids from Christian families. They don't have any Bible basis, so they have to have simple lessons and straight to the point. And these are great times with the kids. And later they'll show up in special activities in the chapel when there's Kids' Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day. They'll bring sometimes some of their parents, sometimes, because it's very hard to get unsaved adults out to a meeting. It is here, isn't it? And so in our culture, it is doubly so, may I say. And here we have games again with the kids and their parents, trying to get interaction between the parents and their children, as well as the parents and the leaders of the Sunday school. So all this goes on. Actually, this is our daughter-in-law leading that game. She's Silvia. So you've met Andrew, our son, and his wife, Leticia. And this is our son Mark's wife, Silvia. Very good, very dynamic. A recent activity with the children, a mother put this up on her Facebook. And so she asked her son, well, how was the program today? And this is what he said: the best day of my life. That's good. Thank you for so much love. Good. That's where it is. When the teachers, all those involved, show love to these kids. He's from a broken family. A ladies' home Bible study. Eunice has lots of those going. So this is in Sylvia's house, actually, and a nice group of ladies. On this occasion, one of the husbands took pity on the ladies because, you see, when the men get together, they have a barbecue. So once a month, the husbands take off to somebody's house, and they have a barbecue together. And so the lady started saying, well, why don't we get a barbecue? Well, you make it, but but anyway, this gentleman offered his house and his services to make a barbecue for the ladies. And obviously, as you can see, they're having a good time. And also, regularly, about three times a year, the ladies will have an evangelistic effort in the chapel, where they invite unsaved ladies to hear the gospel. And sometimes they'll deal with topics about the family, about marriage, specific topics, and then bring in the gospel for those who aren't saved. And again, this is a Mother's Day program. And you see Eunice, my wife, the one who's going to give you the prayer card, there she's throwing a ball to win herself a prize. So all the ladies get to throw the ball and to win themselves a prize. Nobody loses, everybody wins something. Our family. There we have Andrew, and Leticia is the one doing the selfie. And behind Andrew, you see Mark and his wife Sylvia. And next to her is Nacho. So Nacho is a newcomer to the family. He married Amy, who is Andrew's older daughter. So they're there together at the head of the table. And following is... who is that? That is Michelle. That's Mark's younger daughter. And then Melanie, his older daughter. And we'll skip one and have Annie, that's Andrew's younger daughter, who is now studying here near Hamilton in Redeemer College. So that's our family. The girl we skipped is a cousin. So she is my brother Robert's granddaughter. So anyway, that is the family. And it is so good to have the family. As missionaries, you don't always get that your kids choose to continue living in the city, in the country that you're working in. We have that privilege. Closer up of Mark and family. Track distribution. And we visit seniors' homes. We enjoy it. And the seniors enjoy it. And especially when we take kids with us to sing or to do some kind of a play, the children enjoy it, and so do the older ones as well. And, there you see some of the folk, but you also see the mate and the thermos. So that is the traditional tea in our part of the continent. Everybody drinks that, almost. So do we. And it's like a tea. Another senior's home. This is a small one. The owners are Christians. And so they have a very nice ministry. They receive non-Christian folk. And before you know it, they have presented the gospel and have been able to lead them to the Lord. Not always that way, but 90% of the time, before they die, they have come to know the Lord as their Savior. And right now we're praying for the gentleman there in the green at the back on the left. He came in recently, and he's been an atheist all his life, and his parents were atheist. And so he doesn't believe in God, doesn't know anything about the Bible. But, after a couple of visits, right from the start, he said, "Thank you for the message. I enjoyed it. It reached my heart." And we're praying for his conversion, of course, not just an emotional reaction. And then our last visit there before coming up here, he says, "Give me a hug." He's blind, yes. He had a cataract operation, didn't care for himself, and lost his vision. Well, working with children, they grow. Very often they hit 14, 15 years of age and they disappear. Sometimes they'll come back later on. But this couple, they came up through Sunday school, the girl in our assembly, and the fella in Mercedes, where Robert is. And they've been steady all the way through their youth. And then they got married So we're very happy, and we're especially happy because we didn't lose her. We won him. And so they're living in our city, and they're very active with the children, and as of this year, too, in the camps. And another couple, not as committed as the previous couple, for which we're praying, that they get in there firmly with Christ and not allow themselves to be absorbed with the cares of this life, you know, getting things and getting their eyes on things instead of on Christ. Regularly, usually about 3 times a year, we'll have a couple's banquet. You'll have picked that up in our newsletters. And so the couple on the right are the ones who are in charge of that. They do the organizing and a lot of the cooking and the planning. And they had invited this couple on the left. They are German missionaries. In other words, missionaries from Germany. And they are living on the East Coast, having established an assembly there. So they were the invited speakers, and we have a great time. There you see a little bit of the preparation of the chapel. The benches went out, and the chairs came in, and some tables, and tablecloths. They really put up a nice setup. And to the again, the idea, I'm sorry I skipped it, is for the Christian couples to invite their non-Christian friends. And actually, one of those friends is now the mayor of the city. And so that was rather interesting when he became that. This is the booth in the fair that I had mentioned earlier. We had books as well as goodies for sale. Because in Uruguay, people aren't great readers. So if you put only books out on the table, they'll take a glance and keep walking. But if you have food items, they'll stop and look a little bit better. And so we did have that presence in this fair, which actually is put on by the city, the municipality, which is seeking to bring together the different institutions of the city, thinking of our celebration for 250 years as a city. So, well, pray for this issue as well, that we be able to have a spot in the city activities where people know that we're there, know what we're doing, and feel free to approach us. There's an institution in the capital city which tries to avoid the destroying of food. You know how the supermarkets, the deadline comes up, and so they chuck the food. Here in Canada, you have a lot of sales when things are about to go out of date, but in Uruguay, they just throw it away. So this organization pools it and has people who will take charge of getting it out to people who are in need. So a lot of the churches have been able to get onto this, and so we have to go to the supermarkets, pick it up every day, and then send it around. This is one of the families that receives. Actually, they are a family that was reached in one of the children's programs that we saw earlier. And so they are a family of 9. They're known as the family of 9. In Uruguay, a family of 9 is unusual. Around here, it's quite common. But they're very uncommon. Most of the families have less than 1 child per family, per couple. So that's why Uruguay's population doesn't grow. Really, it's on the descent. So anyway, this family of 9 really is like 3 families, but all dysfunctional. Some of the parents are in jail. All of them are into drugs. And so rather than have them all spread around in foster homes or government institutions, the grandmother took on responsibility for all of these kids. So it's quite a chore for her. She does get financial help from the government, of course, but these goodies are always well received in this home. And then as a local assembly as well, we have a program to aid families from the assembly who are out of a job or are sick or in need of a little bit of help. And so the Christians always know there's a box where you can leave a bag of rice or whatever you want to give, and it is distributed. So all this more or less is what takes place in Rosario, where we are living. And also about 40 years ago, the Lord opened the doors. Remember what we read? That the Lord would open doors so the gospel would be spread. Well, he opened the door here in Esilda Polier. Again, a city where there was no assembly. It's about 30 kilometers from Rosario. And today we have this building, which was blacksmith's shop. The word slipped my mind. Blacksmith's shop. It was black, literally, full of smoke. And no windows, just a big barn door. But it was well cleaned, and we got windows in it. And it is a nice chapel now. That was the youth group, and this is the adolescence group here. A lot of these kids are product of the contact of a brother in the assembly who would take his boy, kick the ball around in a field, and before he knew it, it wasn't just his son, but half a dozen of his son's friends. And so, fine, that was great. He established a friendship, and bit by bit has been bringing them to the local assembly for the kids' activity. These are the bikes outside. And here inside, studying the Bible. We've gone through Mark together. We've studied through Philippians together. Right now we're working on a Bible course, more on topical. But it's great to see adolescents, 12, 13, 14 years old, participating in a serious Bible study. To their level, but they do participate nicely. And this is our Christmas program. Sorry, no snow. there is probably 30 degrees there. December in Uruguay, being the other side of the equator, it's summer. And a great opportunity to share the word with non-Christians. A baptism. Here it's two girls from the youth group down at a river close by, and the highway going above. So every time a truck goes over, you hear. That's the two girls and the aunt of one of them. Pray for them, because they're at the age when they look at some young fella, or some young fella looks at them. And if he's not a Christian, and they have to make the choice, Christ or a fella. And many times they'll choose the fella, even though experience shows from other cases that it usually does not end well. So pray for these girls and so many other young people that they would make the right choice according to God's will. Well, you had COVID, and you went on online or telephone. Well, we did it by Zoom, and so the meetings were seen. We were able to interact on the computers or the phones, whatever it was, with the people. And actually, the brother who took this picture was from our area, but, well, he started through as a child and youth, and now he's married and living in another city 400 kilometers away. And so he was able to latch on with us. One of those benefits of Zoom meetings. And then Christmas came around, and we weren't able to have public meetings. So we couldn't bring the parents of the Sunday school kids to the chapel to have a program. So how do we do it? So TV. And the city had a local TV on YouTube. So we spoke with them, and for $50, we were able to have a weekly program of 5 minutes on the channel. So another benefit of COVID. It wasn't all bad. And then again, another result was we can't go door to door giving out tracts. So how do we continue giving out the message to the public? So here we have these signs, Bible verses that we had printed, and one of the brethren welded together the framework and put it in some cement blocks, and there they are. So we had 7 of these scattered around the city. And surprisingly enough, they lasted a good while without being destroyed. And then here we have a Bible study with an Emmaus course, 1 Thessalonians. So all the students, all the Christians had their Bible course. They would read it up, and then we would go over it together and discuss the answers on the group. Talking of Emmaus, there we are. I'm a national director for Uruguay, and working along with us, we have 15 other distributors. And the aim is to have one in every assembly around the country doing the distributing, and with time, the correcting as well of the exams. So Emmaus, along with everyday publication courses, is an important activity. Here's a lady in an assembly 200 kilometers from us who has a women's group, and she's doing a good work leading the Bible studies there. And here she is again, but with children, with children's courses. Radio has for years been important. In fact, when we went to move to the area, we wanted to confirm with the Lord that this was His will, that we move to Rosario. And so to confirm it, we put a radio program on a local station and asked the Lord to answer with 6 contacts in 6 months. Well, the Lord gave us 6 contacts in 6 months. Never again has it happened. And, well, if you count up all the months, we don't even get 1 contact a month. But the Lord did this, 6 contacts in 6 months. Today, the programs continue to be aired out of the same station. And we have my father's program. My father has been with the Lord now for years, since the year 2014. Thank you, Eunice, for helping me there. So that is a good number of years. But the programs continue to be aired out of Transworld Radio. That's what RTM stands for, is Transworld Radio in Spanish. And so The whole country hears the programs every night. And then on four other stations, smaller stations in particular cities, the program continues to be aired. It's interesting because this little card, people can just shine their cell phone on that and take a picture of it. And then that opens up all the programs, Emmaus courses. You can even do Emmaus courses online, have them corrected online, everything. So it's a real evangelistic tool that God has put into our hands. Juan Lacase. This was the third open door that the Lord gave us. And the work there has also been going approximately 40 years, starting again with children, young people. And here especially we saw the importance of Bible camps, because the kids would come up, and when they'd go to camp, it was just like an injection. Many of them got saved, made their decisions for Christ at camp. And also many have found their spouse at camp. And what a great place to find it. So this assembly has benefited a lot from that. In fact, one of the elders sitting right in the middle beside the girl that's covering her face, he's one of the elders, but he started as an adolescent in the group there, got saved. He did get away from the Lord, but came back, and the Lord is using him today, along with others. So that is how you spell Juan Lacase. This is the baptism. As you see, it looks more like an ocean. It is 50 kilometers across. And on the other side of those 50 kilometers is Argentina. So this is the River Plate. So it's the mouth of the rivers, several rivers that come together and then flow out into the ocean. So it is a good place for baptisms. And of course for meetings with the relatives of those who are getting baptized. Fourthly, tararidas. And here it's an interesting story, because here the contact, which took us to tararidas, was one of the contacts that we had prayed for 30 years previous, that the Lord would give us 6 contacts in 6 months. And one of those was this lady, Norma, who got saved. She asked for a Bible course, started studying, got saved, baptized, then got married and moved to the city. And actually the house that we're meeting in now, they made it. They built it for themselves. And then they moved to another place, another house for their business, and left their place here for the assembly gatherings. So here we are, and this is the group that meets here. And that was the group that went to the tent meetings in another city. Actually, the lady here, the battery went dead, I think. second from the end, that's Norma, the lady that we've been talking about. And it's her husband who owns this van. And so he takes high school kids from their homes to high school in another city. That's the family there. The wife, Norma, is very active with ladies as well as the kids' classes. She teaches handcrafts and is very appreciated by the ladies. And the daughter is active with the children and adolescents. Here's a Bible camp right close to us. We were It was donated, a property, for Bible camps. That's a whole story apart, which I won't tire you with. But we've had it now for a little over 10 years, and bit by bit, it has been developed. We started off no buildings, so everything was in tents, and it is still that way today. Most of the kids will stay in tents, and they love it. Now we do have some dormitories above on a second floor, but a lot of the kids, even the girls, say, no, we want to sleep in tents. So they bring their tents and their mattresses and sleep out under the stars. This is a group of the kids. This fellow in the yellow and his brother from a complicated family situation. And the first day of camp, they were just impossible. We went to the swim in the river, and if anybody just happened to splash them a little bit, what was it we were talking about today? Anger. Well, anger and fury. It was just coming out of his pores, especially the one with the in the yellow. But being patient, by the second day, he was a lot better. And by the third day, he was one of the bunch, being splashed and splashing and having a good time. Do pray for these kids. What a lot of them need is love, but above all, they need the gospel to really transform their lives. So pray for them. And pray for their parents. These kids' parents are, well, that's why the kids are like that. Because the parents are a disaster. So they need the gospel as well. And in the case of these kids' mother, she knows the gospel because her mother was a Christian. But she has refused it. And in her rebellion, she has become a very sinful and hard woman. And the kids are the ones who suffer. Another group of the next group up. And you can see a little bit more of the building there. It's a two-story. So down below, we have the chapel and dining area. And then above, the sleeping quarters. A volleyball game. Special volleyball. Each team has a sheet and they have to catch a balloon. The balloon is full of water, so that makes it exciting, especially when it breaks on you. And here's somebody visiting from Canada and making animals and different things out of balloons. He didn't speak a word of English, a word of Spanish, but there you see him, surrounded by the kids and enjoying. During COVID, or I should say after COVID, we had to keep our distances. And so here you see them eating outside and trying to more or less be separate. You saw the beach at the baptism. This is the same river, just further down. And great for games with the kids. Well, marshmallows are a must in camp time. It's not a popular thing in Uruguay, but it has been introduced and they enjoy it. Of course, that's the next step around the campfire. Some hot dogs, some wieners in there as well. The gospel bus. For years now, we've had tent meetings, but more recently, they were able to purchase this bus. And so it's great as it holds the whole tent and 20 young people as well. So the bus and the tent is an activity, especially during the month of February. January, everybody's in camps. And February, those who can are in the tent meetings. And there's the group of kids that come together from the whole country, all the different assemblies, and you have 30, sometimes 40, mainly young people, but also a good number of adults, spending their vacations to preach the word. Good thing to have some mechanics around, because they are necessary too. And up goes the tent. I believe that our son Andrew, when he was with you, showed you a little video of it in fast speed. It's very neat seeing it all come together. It takes hours to set it up. And when the tent, main tent, is up, and the smaller ones where the kids sleep, it looks something like that. We're not gypsies. We had the tent in Juanacaste, where I mentioned earlier with the baptism. This is the chapel in Juanacaste, and the bus and some of the kids there. The children's activity with the tent. It varies, sometimes 30, 40 children, and other times there's another city where up to 130 children from a small town come to the tent. After the main lesson, the kids are divided up according to their ages, and so the purpose of this is to have more interaction with the kids at their age level, and so to make sure the lesson was understood, and also to see if there are any kids who are ready to make a decision for the Lord. And so very often it'll end up in this: a leader with a child and leading him to the Lord. This is the adult session at night. Always more difficult to get the adults. But being that there is a large group, 30 or so young people together, it really helps, because a crowd draws a crowd. And so having 30 kids encourages other people to attend, as you can see. This happens too. Sometimes the tent starts to rock back and forth, and all the kids are spread around the tent, standing on the steel rods to keep the tent down so it doesn't get blown away. We've had some dandies, in fact, some that have taken off roofs of houses, and so the tent sometimes gets its rocking. We have had some of our older tents previous to this one that met their end in storms like this. This is a picture of one of the larger groups that I mentioned with 130 kids. Maybe you ask, well, how are these events organized? Who does it? Well, it's not one assembly, much less one person. KAMU is sort of like what we have here with MSC, Missionary Service Committee. In this case, KAMU originated organizing conferences, mainly conferences, and then administering for the missionaries. And as there were more missionaries commended from Uruguay to serve in Uruguay and then outside of Uruguay, it was necessary to have a way of pooling the funds and distributing. So KAMU has come into existence. Basically, all the men that are elders in their assemblies are invited to come. Of the 30-some assemblies that there are in Uruguay, usually there are about 15, 16, 17 assemblies represented. On an occasion like this, where there is a day's retreat, there'll be even 20 to 25 assemblies present. Most of the assemblies in the country will assemble. Today, they had a ladies' retreat, where the ladies are now on their way home, because it came to an end today. But they have spent yesterday and today together, 360 ladies there. I don't know if anybody heard anything, any strange noises. Maybe it was coming from there. You can imagine. Anyway, they have a great time. There's my sister-in-law, Robert's wife, Cecilia. And well, throughout, you have people from all over the country assembled there to hear the word and to be encouraged one with another. Another thing that has happened are missionaries, as I mentioned, being commended from Uruguay to work in other places. These two couples who went to Paraguay, working in Paraguay on the border of Brazil. So that's way up there. They're working with indigenous people. And some others from Uruguay. The fellow up front there is our son, Mark. He was one of them. They went up recently to help build a meeting place in one of the tribes. Actually, the chief, Indian chief of that village is a Christian. And so that gives a good basis for continuing work. Here they are giving a children's class in the open air, just like we do in the city. The work is similar. Another thing happening in Uruguay is the cooperation between the assemblies. Not only officially, shall we say, by CAMU, but spontaneously as well. And here, one of the groups in the capital city, it's a new assembly, and they outgrew the little garage that they were meeting in. They were able to purchase a property with the help of all the assemblies. And here they are changing the roof from a very decrepit room. They now have a very nice chapel. There it is. And this is their youth group. We were there about 2 months ago. And very nice group. The next day, on the Sunday, after the morning meeting, the ladies met together in the chapel, and Eunice was there with them. And all the guys went over to somebody's house, and of course we had a barbecue. You can count on that. We had a time together with the men, and there you can see the men. So as you see by the number, it has grown very nicely, that assembly. And this is on our way to one of the meetings, and we just had to stop and take a picture of that rainbow. You don't see that every day. And what a promise. That's what the rainbow is all about. They've changed things today, socially, but we remember God's promise. God promised that he would not send a flood over the whole world like he did before. And he has kept that promise. God has promised that if we sow, we will reap. And many of you around here are waiting for the opportunity to reap. You're at that moment of your cycle. So you're ready to reap your produce. And God wants us to sow the word because he has promised that he will give growth. He will take people to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I are the ones in charge of sowing. I don't know what would happen if nobody sowed, if nobody preached. Can you imagine what could happen here in Listowel if nobody preached, if nobody witnessed? What would happen? In a few years, this building would be empty. Well, maybe it wouldn't be empty. Maybe it would be a dance hall, like has happened in many places, or a restaurant or something. But the church would disappear. So that's why the Lord has said, go. And that's why Paul was saying here, pray. Pray that the Lord would open doors. And pray that I would speak as I ought to speak. We have to pray. But we have to go as well. And so this cycle, constant cycle of sowing, reaping, sowing, reaping, is to go on until the very end. Because Jesus said, I will be with you until when? Until the end. So we can trust our Lord. That's what faith is all about, believing that he will be faithful. So join us in prayer as we seek to send the Lord's word to Uruguay and not only see people saved, but also discipled, growing in the Lord's things, seeing elders formed, seeing churches formed, and going on firmly with him. It's a lifelong journey. And so we need you to pray for what the Lord is doing in Uruguay. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. God bless you and us as we serve him in the place that he has placed us. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness, that as we consider sharing your word wherever we are, that we know that you will give growth to that seed. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the sun. We thank you for trials. We thank you for difficulties, which awaken people to their need of you, to the fact that there's a void in their hearts and their lives that can only be filled by you. And so we pray that you would open doors into cities, open doors into homes, open doors into individuals' lives, that they wouldn't be resistant to the gospel, that they could be good soil that would receive the seed and give fruit. We commit ourselves to you, asking you to help us to be faithful servants, just as you are a faithful master. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much. Don't forget to go after Eunice for that prayer card. And when you get the prayer card, don't forget to pray. Thank you.